Today we are at Data Expo Studio here on German SQL Conference. We are glad to have you here, you all. And may I ask you to introduce yourself? Let's start with Dandy.
Oh, I got to go first. Hi everyone, my name is Dandy Wine. I am Global Technology Lead for Microsoft Data Platform. Have been certified trainer since, I believe, 1999.
Okay.
So that's been a while. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
my name is Lars Platztasch. Hello. I'm MCT2 since 2007, not so long, but I train SharePoint and SQL, and I'm also a consultant and have my own company to consulting our customers about SharePoint and SQL, of course.
Okay, my name is Frank Geisler, and I'm an MCT2, and I'm also an MCT since 2010 or something like that. And I do training classes on SQL Server and on SharePoint, and I'm a consultant too, and I'm an MVP.
An MVP also? Excellent,
yes.
Excellent.
Great.
My name is Alex Karl. Today I'm the host. I'm also a speaker here at the German conference, and most of the topics I like in SQL. This makes me to be also a MCT for SQL Server especially.
I like that a lot. Yeah, that's good.
It sounds that is our favorite product, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because you can't do SharePoint without a database, right?
Yeah, right.
But today for Channel 9, we have some questions, especially to you and to Microsoft Corp. And the first question, we have some course libraries and slide decks well prepared, and it's a really good stuff to support us. But currently, we are just now, we can prepare for about 1 week, 2 weeks, and we have products like SQL 2012 or SQL 2014. It shows in the product name that we have 2 years with the same product, and the customers like it that we have a product name or a product number. But if you start with, especially with Azure, with continuous integration, and Microsoft plans that we get new features really fast, which means every 4 weeks, every month, we have new stuff, we have new slides, we have new screenshots, this makes it really hard to get well prepared, especially in front of the class. What do you think about this topic?
So, I mean, I think it's a very interesting topic, right? I mean, if you think about overall content development, right? I mean, and I go back, it's been a while that I've been to a classroom and teaching a class with Microsoft official curriculum materials, but what we used to do is you used to get a printed manual training kit. Yeah. Everything is in there, and for the longest time, that would not change.
Okay.
So when I started initially teaching, it was very simple. You order your trainer kit, you order your student kit, you get to the classroom, and basically the questions you get within the class from the audience was, compared to nowadays, extremely simple, right? I mean, you look at your audience, and they were like asking questions, and they came to see you as the expert and the trainer.
Yeah.
While nowadays in classrooms, correct me if I'm wrong, Lars, you probably see that as well, is when you're in front of a customer now, or you're in front of a student in a classroom, they challenge you on your knowledge because you have your course materials, and you have to know so much more than what goes around the knowledge.
You mentioned expert. To be an expert, the training class expects we are the experts, we have solved some struggles in front, but if you go on Monday in front of a training class, you open Azure, you see a new features inside, and you're stuck. The training class was wondering, is he an expert or not?
So how do you keep yourself up to speed, right? Yeah. I mean, so I actually asked that that question at one of the Microsoft events that I was talking to a journalist.
Yeah.
Like, how do you keep up to date with everything that's going on in the industry, whatever industry you're in, right? If you're in financial services, how do you keep up to speed with that? Well, it's like, It's by reading a lot and keeping up to date on what gets announced. And so one of the things that I do, and maybe we could switch to the screen there, I could actually show you what I do there. And so let's have a look at the screen. This, it's not a self-promotion.
Yeah.
This is my personal blog.
Okay.
Now, you look at technologies like SharePoint, like everything that goes around Azure. There are so many things and announcements that come out every day. Every day there's an update on this. There's a new feature to that. I mean, I do work a lot with Power BI. And weekly updates to the service, monthly updates to the Power BI desktop tool.
Yeah.
Right? How do you keep up to speed to that? So what I actually did for myself is every morning I read everything that goes on the blogs.
Okay.
Now, the problem is there's the Azure Machine Learning blog, there's the Power BI blog, there's the Windows Server blog, there's the SQL Server blog. So what I actually do on my blog is I have an RSS feed. And so my RSS feed pulls everything in from the public blogs and reposts it online. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like reading the newspaper.
Awesome.
Right? So, so a while ago we released, when did we release that? The Power BI embedded in a blog, right? So we released that and go like, okay, that's something nice. I read up on the blog, and then I write something, try it out. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was actually reading that as part of the Power BI blog, and boom, there I go. I can play with it and I can learn from it.
Okay.
And and I think if you look at nowadays classroom training, it is getting more difficult, especially if you're teaching things that go into hybrid cloud scenarios.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm here in Germany, not only for SQL Conference, but yesterday I delivered a train-the-trainer on a course that we will be releasing into the, what is it called now, Courseware Marketplace? which is talking about cloud data platform solutions.
Okay.
Now, cloud data platform solutions, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to be version specific and say, hey, we're only focusing on SQL 2012, 2014, or 2016? And the trick is you need to design your courseware in such a way that you could go from one version to the other, and then you can add things on it. Mm-hmm. And so what we do with that course specifically is we talk about designing and implementing, and it's actually tied to the certification exam. So we actually developed a designing and implementing cloud data platform solutions exam.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So for the people that are familiar with doing SQL Server courses and training, like Frank, right? within the course material, there's nothing that really talks about the hybrid scenarios.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says, okay, now we'll take you to the Azure portal, we get your virtual machine up and running, and we get you up to speed on that. And a lot of times I think it's, if you want to keep yourself up to speed, it's by knowing before you go into your classroom what is recent, what is something new mm-hmm. that I can bring to my students in the beginning of the classroom, and they go like, wow, I've only been here for 10 minutes, and I already learned something new.
Okay.
So rather than just taking your standard course materials and mm-hmm. saying, welcome to the class, this is module zero, in today's agenda we're gonna be covering this, I go like, good morning guys, good morning ladies, everyone, welcome to the class. Before we start, I actually wanna show you something that I was reading this morning. Have you seen that? That's just quite amazing. We might not be covering it in the course, but you already set the level and you go like, wow, I have a trainer here that is standing in front of me, and this guy is like so up to date with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. Now, keeping yourself up to date, there's a couple of ways to do that, right? There's reading blogs, there's going into beta programs.
Yeah.
And so on, but I mean that's what I do. I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, for me personally, I do it on weekends, so I do my preparation also for the course on Saturday and Sunday,
yeah.
And do there read all the things that I can found like this, but not I do the search self, mm-hmm. And see then what's
his
very
blog?
New.
Do you also?
No. This I don't
know.
But now I know, and I can take a look as well. It's a good
whatever
idea.
That's on my blog all comes from other blogs. Yeah, I'm just aggregating to make it easier for me, so I don't have to go onto this blog and that blog and that
blog.
That's
a good idea to
just have it in a single
picture. But it's an excellent idea to get a summary on your blog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think another good idea. What I'm doing is I've subscribed to many, for example, many of the product groups. Not only have blogs, but also Twitter accounts. Yeah. And when they are posting new material on the blog, then it is often on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
So you can rather scan very fast on the Twitter tweets, and you can see what's new, and that's how.
But then again, there's so many out there, right?
For sure.
That's correct.
And probably all the retweets and all the likes,
yes.
You can skip, and so it's also really fast to get some information from Twitter.
No.
Especially from Twitter. We have two Twitter handles we can recommend. The first one is SQL Family, and for sqlpath.de, we have also a Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Was it correct?
Well, it is sqlpath_de.
Underline DE. SQLpath.de is our German path site.
Yeah.
But let's continue with the second question.
Mm-hmm.
In classroom preparation, gets harder and harder. In 2005, 2006, we started especially with the course 2780, maintaining SQL. We started with about 4 or 5 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. Currently, we have more than 30. One VHD has more than 30 gigabytes, but it's not only the VHD. We have also to download and to prep a middle tier and a base tier. And this takes for a classroom of about 5 up to 8 attendees, more than a day.
Yeah.
Okay,
in summertime, we had also 3-day courses like 2005. This makes during the week from Monday to Friday, it was also possible for the employees in the training center that they make the preparation on Monday or Friday or something between. Currently, we have 5-day courses. This makes us that also the training center have the duty to make the preparation on Saturday, or they have double hardware. One for prep and one for the course. What do you think about how can we combine this with Azure?
Mm-hmm.
The course in Azure, we have all the ability. We don't need to download. And for us, it's the same from network or from wire to connect to Dublin, to Europe North, or to connect to US. And this would be also probably an excellent idea. What do you think about?
So you're talking about physical classroom setup.
Yeah, the physical classroom setup has more than probably one day with downloading and preparation of all the VHDs.
So, I mean, personally, it's been a while since I've actually been involved in physical classroom setups.
Yeah, I know.
One of the things that I do is specifically with the course that we designed, the cloud data platform solutions and so on, is the way we design, and I think that's something that our courseware developers should think about, is there are so many things, especially with Azure, that you can do now, like job automation, runbooks, and so on.
Yeah.
I personally have found Azure to be an amazing platform for classroom setup. Last week, we had a train-to-trainer class in Redmond.
Yeah.
I had 40 students.
Okay.
So 40 students, what are we going to do? Are we going to rent hardware and do the physical classroom deployment?
Yeah.
Knowing that the focus of the course is really cloud and data platform and doing a lot of work on Azure, or what's our plan there? So as part of the learning materials, what we actually did is we said, hey, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to pre-build a virtual machine on Azure, ready to go, put that on Azure storage, and use all the capabilities we have with Azure in terms of content distribution network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can put my data on a content distribution network and automatically have geographical distribution with Azure. And so, and then we did a deployment script using a runbook and PowerShell, workflow to really set up the classroom. The key advantage of that is everyone could show up with their own laptop.
Yeah.
Oh, idea.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Could show up with their own laptop, and first thing that they did is they actually went to the portal. I'm going to go to my Azure portal here.
The main question is now, when we get it? My wish is tomorrow?
Yes.
For us.
So, I mean, so I think the question you need to ask yourself is,
yeah.
is I mean, what is a good delivery mechanism, right? Mm. I mean, so one of the things that I found is, and that's where probably we're a little bit disconnected because I don't deliver the traditional mock materials.
Yeah, okay.
But what I found to be very effective is, beginning of the class, spin up a virtual machine on Azure, copy and download the installation bits that you need for the class in there, mm-hmm. run attended setup, ready to go.
Okay.
For a physical classroom, what I actually did is, and I was an independent consultant trainer as well, mm-hmm. what I actually did is I had a relatively portable server, like a small desktop, and I said, hey, I could take this with me. I would show up on first day, 1 hour before class, mm-hmm. and image out the images using mm-hmm. multicast to east of the machines.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, do not worry about my setup. I will do my own setup.
Okay.
And I think if you follow some of the traditional installation methods, there is so much more we can do rather than just following the traditional classroom setups. In my personal opinion, I don't know why we still build virtual machines for your classroom setup, have you download it, okay? Because if you look on the capabilities you have at the Azure platform and the automation, you could script all of that at the beginning of a class and give everyone an Azure infrastructure for training delivery.
And that's Azure infrastructure would be one option, or the other option would be to make to expand the learning download center .microsoft.com to expand it for Azure part or something, and you can set up a training class, especially mm-hmm. in such a learning Azure portal, Microsoft.com. That would be also awesome idea.
And I think there's some third-party vendors that actually offer that solution to the CPLS channel already, right?
Okay.
Where you can actually contact them and say, hey, I want to deliver this class.
Yeah.
It has a full portal. You sign up. You provide a list of students. Students get an invitation email. You keep track of registration, evaluation system.
Okay.
Student get access to the course materials. So there's a couple of vendors that actually do play in that area. It's a partner thing. I mean, I gladly take some of that feedback and discuss that with the MCT program and see what can be done. But on the other hand, there's a lot of things out there that you could probably think about using as well.
In other words, a third-party tool is still ready.
I mean, there are third-party tools that are ready to do so.
Okay.
You could also do this yourself, right? I mean, the classroom that I delivered here in Germany this week, that I delivered in Redmond last week, and that I'm re-delivering on Monday at our Munich office, is I did build a virtual machine, okay? So whether you downloaded that or built that, it doesn't really matter at that point. And so I give my students an AZ copy script that basically connects to my Azure storage, copies the VHD into an account for them, provisions the account and spins it up for them. And if you have that scheduled delivery and you combine it with Azure Runbooks, what you can do at that point is you could say, Friday night, schedule the VMs, spin them up and have them running at 9 o'clock Monday morning, Monday 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, because your class might be run a little bit longer, shut everything down, and you get an extremely cost-effective scenario because the amount of VMs you need to spin up, you're only spinning up for the amount of students you have.
Yeah.
Mm. Plus,
during the night, you save some money.
Plus, you save money on the resources and the cost.
Mm. Yeah.
And you look at the students, you don't need to buy any hardware. You could just say, bring your own laptop. We give you access to our wireless network or wired network.
Yeah.
A second monitor might be a good option.
Yeah.
And you're saving a lot on hardware at that point.
That's fine.
So, and that's a great option that I'm a big fan of, And it's been working very well for me. So you look at some of the classes where you're teaching some fundamentals, like I mean, I'm going to SQL because that's an area I know very well. Mm. If I teach a querying course, the only thing I need is a SQL Server instance with a sample database.
Yeah. Yeah.
Technically, the majority of the querying class, I can deliver that on an Azure SQL database, create a login for each student, and now I'm running at a cost that's not going to cost me even $100 or 75 euros to actually deliver an entire class, and I have no hardware cost.
Mm.
I think bringing that kind of innovation, I think it's key to some of the things you do there.
I think this is a very good thing to do for, on the other end, for showing the students not only the topic which the course is dealing with, but also to demonstrate them the technology which is based on Azure, mm-hmm. so they can see how easily such machines can be built up. But on the other hand, I think sometimes in Germany this is a little bit tricky because the infrastructure sometimes at some customer sites is not very good. So it might be sometimes a little bit a risk to put it all on Azure, because I think
Frank wanted to say we have some rural site with wired connection with less than 1 megabyte and from download and from upload side.
Some download it's
also less.
Yes.
And in this case, it's not possible to start at 8:50 to make an upload to Azure. It lasts up to 5 p.m. So the classroom is finished, didn't finish preparation.
But you only have to do this once. Right?
That's okay. Yeah.
You upload it to storage once, you have it sitting there, and everything else is scripted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? The training class that I'm delivering, I only uploaded a virtual machine once. Actually,
he mean you should work on Saturday, then you finished on Sunday night.
No, you only have to do this once, and you're going to reuse that for every re-delivery, because everything else is scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem might be that sometimes this is not a problem of Azure, but this is a problem of the infrastructure. Sometimes the infrastructure is so bad that the students not really can connect to via RDP. So this is a scenario where you have to have a plan B. And maybe a box which you take with you.
Mobile rack with a server inside and Hyper-V system, and you spread there your virtual machines for the test.
Yes and no, right? Yeah. I mean, yes. You need to have internet connectivity for everything you do with Azure.
Yeah.
You need to have remote desktop, okay? Yeah. I mean, I would say the likelihood that something there is going to fail is as likely as a physical machine might get broken in the classroom, a hard disk might get corrupted or whatsoever. I mean, we're standing in a studio here and we're using technology. What are we going to do if all of a sudden that technology falls away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to say, oh, we're out of technology. No, we're just going to keep having this conversation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're standing on stage and you have 300 people in the room and the projector falls out. What are you going to do? Cancel the session or keep going?
Probably not.
Okay? I mean, I can
the whiteboard.
Yeah, but I mean,
I can whiteboard, go to flip chart.
Even if you don't have that, right? I mean,
yeah, okay. That's a kind of preparing. So I go for the to teach some new stuff project. I have a Beamer, my notebook, and flip chart and a whiteboard. So I love to paint something. So that's it's more attractive for the audience. And sometimes the PowerPoint stuff it's nice. And sometimes you need to prepare a more traumatic situation to teach and the audience to get listen to the specific point. You need to be prepared to make some slow moves, paint something, and then you have the attraction for the audience.
What,
and it's whiteboard or a flip shot, it's very good for that.
What an audience, no matter what audience really likes, right? It is something they can relate to, and it's something that they can't just read on paper or on a blog. So think outside the box from a delivery perspective there. It's
that's right.
I mean, this morning in my session as well, as I had the option between going through slides and or doing everything full demo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I started with two slides. And I said, so I can continue to walk through slides here and tell you everything about Power BI and the capabilities, but let's just go into demo. By the end of the session, I just realized now that I didn't go through the slide deck, and I covered every single topic that I had on slides.
That
takes preparation. Mm-hmm. I know that takes a lot of preparation.
Yeah.
And that takes, I always tie preparation to passion, right? It's like, and I know it's tough because at times there might be a course that you don't like to teach necessarily.
And but the audience has an advantage. They see it twice. First of all, on your demo, and second, they can rebuild on your slide deck as well if you share them in afterwards, after the show.
Yeah, that's
it's fine. It takes. I feel it takes a lot of customization depending on who you have in the audience. And having done train-the-trainer classes for the longest time, the one I actually kicked off my entire professional career was doing a train-the-trainer on SQL 2005. Looking at that is, that's where you put yourself in front of the most challenging audience, right? Because they're peers, they're certified trainers like you, they're MVPs, there's Microsoft premium support engineers, and they expect difference than just going just through the materials. Mm-hmm. And as a trainer, you need to be prepared for that.
Okay.
So I basically, when I teach a class, it's like, these are the classroom timings. These are the modules. I cannot guarantee that we're going to be covering all the materials because you might have some questions, but I can guarantee we're going to be covering all those topics.
Okay.
It might be that on day one, we're 2 hours behind, but that we catch up on that on day two easily.
Yeah,
depending on the questions that you get from that audience.
To introduce my third question, we have in Germany some managed service providers. They deliver all, they sell hardware, they sell software, they make also the staffing, like from setup from network up to Active Directory and all the services, and they also deliver training courses. In this case, they delivered SQL 2012 with a full function service. Now 2014 comes up. They know the service provider and Microsoft, as the seller of the licenses, they know they have 2012, a full installation. Now we have pretty cool features like in memory for 2014. And how can we deliver both the knowledge as a training system and for to support the managed service provider? In this case, it could be a triple win situation. Microsoft will sell a new license, upgrade to 2014, the managed service provider, and the trainer as well. How can we support this?
So I'm not sure if I get the question right. So let me make sure I understand this correctly. Is the question on how you could work closer with the managed service provider?
How can we all close and work
just
better together?
Just in time about new features. Yeah. Some features comes out and some materials are missing. So this is how we can, we are faster, maybe time to market and on for all of these kind, MCTs, provider, and of course Microsoft too. So to bring
and
the message in the market.
And the local administrators and the local developers onside the company as well.
So I hear a couple of things here. Right, is first of all, how do I keep myself up to speed on what's coming and what's new?
Yeah.
And how do I prepare for it? Mm-hmm. Because frequently that goes much faster than having training materials for that available.
Genau.
Okay. So, and I understand what genau is, so that'll work. So looking at the screen here, right? We have the TechNet virtual apps. Okay, if I look on the virtual apps, there actually is a whole lot of SQL 2016 already out there. You don't have it in course material yet, but hey, what's new in master data services? Okay, what's new in SQL integration services, in analysis services? What about SQL Server and mobile reporting? So this morning I had a session, kind of lead it into SQL 2016 reporting services. I actually did not realize before I walked into the session that there's already a hands-on lab available on that that I could play with. Now, then the question is, how do you bring that with your managed service providers? Is how do you bring that to customers? I think an event like this, right, like SQL Conference, or you look at SQL Saturday events that get organized, are unique opportunities for you to be in front of customers, but even more for you to build relationships and networks. Okay, and again, I'm going to go back to what we initially said is like, you have to bring something unique. What makes me different from another trainer? What makes me different from another training center? How can I engage better with my customers so I can bring something unique so that when I work with a partner, the first thing that the partner is going to think of is, oh, maybe we should do something together. And you have to do that, right? I mean, use that opportunity and go out there and say, hey, I'm going to do something different. That's personally how I kicked off my career. And quite honestly, when I came up and said, I'm going to do a train-the-trainer class on SQL 2005 with the beta course materials that were out there, and I forgot the class number, something with 27, 33, and 34 or something.
Okay.
2005 is far away.
Yeah, I bundled those together and said, I'm going to do a train-the-trainer on that. Yeah. And I'm going to do it for free. Okay. Now, I'm not saying you have to do things for free, but you have to outsmart some of your other training peers and partners. I mean, and we're all good friends here, but I think we all have a business to run. Just do something together. Hey, how about we tackle this? And we're going to do a day where we work with that managed service partner and say, you know what? We have an idea. Yes, we know that you guys sell SQL 2012, 2014. How about we do an evening together at your facilities and you invite your customers and we talk about that. Customer gets excited, goes into adoption, they get to deploy it, and you get become part of the delivery and those capabilities.
Awesome idea.
And I mean, it works. I mean,
yeah.
So I think what's another interesting thing here is if you're not only a trainer, but for example, also a consultant or something like that, so you're not only focused on the training, but you also worked with the programs, with the SQL Server and so on. So you know it from I think the real world, not only from the training materials. And this, I think this adds value as well, because you can, you have a certain experience, and you can pass this experience to the class.
That's right.
And to show some samples much bigger than AdventureWorks.
You know, I mean,
come on.
Here, right? Now you have me. Yes. Okay, you mentioned sample database, AdventureWorks, okay? Actually, the capabilities you have in that database, they do everything that you need.
That's
key,
okay.
The key problem is, a lot of times, and you hear that from MCTs, and I used to be like that as well, it's like, oh, we need bigger examples and bigger databases. Really? Actually, you don't. Because what you're doing as a trainer is you're teaching someone the skills and the capabilities with the solution. Okay?
On the small end.
Not depends on the data.
This morning, in my session, I gave a demo on Power BI. We looked at New York City 311 call data, and I started building a dashboard from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay? That took me like 15 minutes. Bring in the data, do the dashboard from scratch. Now, the other work that I prepared for was a much larger data set. Okay? Rather than having 1,000 records, I had 10 million records in there. So it takes longer to process. Okay, I want to have that ready to show them that you have that big size, bigger size capability, but I'm not going to do that as part of the learning experience and say, oh, and now we're going to wait 15 minutes until the data is imported.
Yeah.
You can't do that, right? So,
okay.
I mean, you could always inflate your databases. I actually data size, adventure works, or some of the scenarios that I use. But I mean, there's quite some capabilities to inflate that. Same thing with like, if you're working with user accounts, you got 5 user accounts. Well, if you want to populate an Active Directory with 20,000 users, script it.
So why not?
Right?
I believe behind the scene, most of the guys like AdventureWorks, because there is also the relationship with MSD Insight. You see all the samples below the code, and this helps, I believe, really a lot.
To understand that.
Building out an entire solution where you can relate to it from an Office 365 to a data platform to a SharePoint perspective and everything that surrounds that, I think, is key. And really need to think about the broader solution and not just about the feature. Okay, I mean, you could talk about SQL in memory OLTP, and you talk about transparent data encryption. The thing is, how do you tie that together in a solution?
That's okay.
To wrap it up for our customers as well, Microsoft's way to Azure will include also us as MCTs and the training academies. And I got from the discussion, the cooperation with Microsoft will continue also in future to be very successful. Dendy, we have to thank you.
Thanks very much for inviting me. I think there's a lot of opportunity out there to look into, hey, what's available outside the materials, as trainers is, build a strong community within the MCT user groups. I know they're out there. There's some regional leads and so on that are doing great job on that. It's always nice to talk and be with fellow MCTs. So thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And thank you, to Lars,
thanks,
to Frank, and thank you to the audience. Thank you.